Okay. Here we go. So, okay. So the first thing I have there is from the Torah. So we have this. The Gemara says the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia. Pretty much everything we've done so far has been from Maseches Yuma and from Maseches Menachos, or Menachos and a little bit from Yuma. And all of a sudden we leave, and there's a discussion in towards the end of Maseches Bava Metzia. Now that already tells you that you're sort of in like a little bit of a different area here. In fact, we sort of are in this like merger zone between Choshen Mishpat and Yerodeah. I mean, there is, on one issue, there is a who has the chiyuv. On the other hand, there is a monetary aspect to what we're going to discuss at night, meaning you have a, and again, the rent, using the word renter can mean both parties, right? So I'll try to remember to use the word owner and tenant to describe our two people here. So we have the owner and the tenant. So who is responsible to get the mezuzah up? And then there is this issue about the tenant leaving. Now, the Gemara itself never actually brings up the issue of someone selling the house, but someone leaving and what he does with the mezuzahs, or the idea of leaving the mezuzahs behind when one leaves. So hopefully we'll get pretty well into that tonight as well. So on the first page, there's not much in the Torah of the Beis Yosef, so we're up to number B's here, where it says, HaSocher Bayis Mechavero, Chayv HaSocher Likvoa Bo Mezuzah L'Taki Makom Kviyasa, that the one who's renting the house, the tenant, so he is the one who has the responsibility of getting the mezuzah up. There's a little bit of ambiguity in the Gemara, but the Gemara concludes that it is in two places, both in Bava Metzia as well as in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, that it is chovas hadar, that it is the responsibility of the person that is living there. They're the ones who gain from the protection, and therefore they're the ones that are obligated to be, and they're the ones that are responsible to make sure that there is a mezuzah on the mezuzah on the door. So and the Beis Yosef here quotes Shafilu hischiru becheskas sheyesh lo mezuzah. Even if he assumed for some reason that there was going to be a mezuzah there, and he shows up and there isn't one. So that's where the Gemara says nicha leinish lemi avi mitzvah min begufei ben ramoni. That's okay. He can't hold it against the. He can't hold it against the owner, but people like spending money on mitzvahs. Now it's a little bit unclear whether this means plus he gets to keep it or not. Meaning, is this is there really going to be a monetary loss, or perhaps he gets to keep it? That was a mugging of rum that we discussed 2 weeks ago, as well as on one of the Pesach nights. But that's what it says here in the Beis Yosef. Okay. So as we turn, I think, page 2 and page 3, so we have the Shulchan Aruch here. So Shulchan Aruch says, Sa'socher bayis mechaver, ha'socher chayev likvoa ba mezuzah ul'takin makom kviyasa, that the person who is the tenant, person rents the house, so the tenant is the one who has to put up the mezuzah, and he also is responsible to make sure that you could get up the mezuzah, meaning if there's some kind of doorpost that makes it difficult to have a mezuzah, and therefore there's going to be a cost involved in carving out a mezuzah slot or something like that, so that's also going to be the responsibility of the tenant. And then the Ramah adds in, "Vafilu schar habayis becheskas sheyesh lo mezuzah lo havi mekach taos." And even if the rental was under the assumption with the chazaka that there was going to be a mezuzah there, so lo have mekach taos, it's not considered a mekach taos, either because people like spending money, or the other svara that out there was, is that a mekach taos means that had I known this, I never would have done this deal. And therefore, it undermines the deal. So therefore, they say, for sure, it doesn't undermine the deal. And as Rashi said in Maseches Pesachim, if a person is claiming, I rented this apartment, everything's great, but I assumed that there was going to be a mezuzah there, and there's not, and therefore I want my money back, and I want to do something else. So the assumption is that there's probably something else that is motivating him to do that, and that's not going to be accepted in Beis Din as being as grounds for a mekach tos. Okay, so that sets the groundwork. 1 second here. Okay, so. Fine. Okay, so that's what we have. So now we move to page 4, I think. Or page 2 or 3 or 4. We got here. Yeah. So page three has this tshuva from Rav Eliyashiv. So Rav Yosef Eliyashiv. So he has this. This is in Chelek Aleph, so Simon Kuf Yud Zayin, where he has the following question. He says, you know, before we get there, I'll just make a comment that there is a, I think it is on one of the pages a little bit later on, the Agrabo Alecha, maybe on page, actually, you know what, let's take a quick look there. Page 5, yeah. If you take a look at page 5 towards the bottom, so that's where this halacha is quoted, right? At the top it says a person who's renting or borrowing the place, so he has to, the Baal Bais doesn't have to, and he's, the person who's renting there is responsible for putting it up. So the Aruch HaShulchan here on the bottom is quoted as saying, right, Omnam Ha'Aruch HaShulchan V'She'elas David Kasu Dehadi Isa Shepundak Pater Mairi B'Shebal HaPundak Havei Goy. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan changes this whole sugya. I mean, our assumption the whole time is that you have an owner and you have a renter, and you have a tenant, and the responsibility is on the tenant rather than the owner. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, not so fast. This is only if the owner is not Jewish, right? So I'm not even sure what he says really is the Havamina. I mean, he just says it. I don't know exactly how he understands the Gemara, but that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says, that this whole thing is only when there is a non-Jewish owner. But if there is a Jewish owner, so the Jewish owner is going to be chayiv to put it up. That's his assumption. But if you're going to be there for 30 days, you're going to be chayiv, meaning that's specifically describing like an inn, like a hotel. So who's chayiv in the hotel? So he says, well, a hotel is an example of renting the space. So the person staying in the hotel, the guest in the hotel is the tenant, and the owner is the owner of the hotel is the owner of the hotel. And if the and if he's there for 30 days, he becomes chayv and mezuzah, and the responsibility is on the tenant, not on the owner. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, nah, that's only if he's not Jewish. The owner is not Jewish. But if the owner is Jewish, so then he would be responsible because he is, it's his place, and it serves as a, beis ha'otzer shelo. He's able to store things in there, right? I'm looking at the Aruch HaShulchan itself, which I think I did not put on the sheets here. It says, "V'nirli zeu b'shabal apundak hu'akum, aval Yisrael chayiv hu lasos mezuzus v'achadarim shel ha'orchim." But if you're a Jew, so then you're responsible, right? And you have a guest room. So you're going to say, well, I'm not chayiv to put mezuzas up in my guest room because that's the guest's responsibility. So he says, no way. If it's your space, it's your space. And therefore, you'd be chayiv to put it up. Shari besohi b'shvil orchim. That's your space for guests. So then what's a hotel? Hotel is just a really big building with a lot of guest rooms. So says the Aruch HaShulchan that scenario, it's really the responsibility of the owner to put it in.
So all the hotels in Israel paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan then?
The ones that have so is it because they're passing like the Aruch HaShulchan, or perhaps there maybe is it's also a nice it's a PR move as well, yes,
that really flips things totally around. That's crazy.
Yes, the other possibility is the reason why they might all have mezuzahs is because we'll get to the issue of a person leaving, right? So the halach is that a person's leaving, so they have to leave their mezuzah around if they know that the next person is going to be Jewish that's going to be there. So if the hotel wasn't mechuyev to put it up, like the Aruch HaShulchan is saying to put it up, the first guest to stay there has to buy one and leave it up when he leaves, right? So... Right, either way, I guess the Minhagin Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, do they, like, all the, I never paid attention, like, all the youth hostels, like, all these places all have mezuzahs up, or it's just, like, the fancy...
Every hotel I've stayed in has had mezuzahs on the doors of the...
Well, some of them are not owned by Jews, are they? So, who else?
Yeah, I think there is also a PR aspect to it as well. All right, but anyways... All you need is a case, right. I wasn't going to say anything, but yes. Right, and how often do they need to be checked also? On the 7-year or 50-year cycle? All right, anyways, Rav Eliyashiv here has a different reason why it could be incumbent upon the owner to be responsible to put up the mezuzah. And here he says in the first paragraph, right, Valdas Hasha'ila Be'echar HaMaschir Beiso L'Achir, a person who rents their house to others, Yachad im hari'itim hanimsim babayis. Right? They're not just renting an apartment, they rent a furnished apartment. So, im hamaskir chai b'mezuzah midi dahava beis ha'otzer. That's the shaila. That it's true that with regards to the tenant that is staying there, he's getting a place to stay. He's renting a room. But vis-a-vis the owner has a storage space for his stuff. Right? So maybe he should be, maybe the owner, if he's renting an empty apartment, so fine. So then it's the responsibility of the renter. But if you're renting a furnished apartment where your stuff is staying there, so then maybe it should be the responsibility back to the owner, not because he owns the apartment that somebody is staying in, but because that apartment is holding his stuff. Right? That is the shiloh that is asked here of Rav Yashav. So Rav Yashav here responds by saying, says, Ein ani roe shum makom l'chaibu mezuzah reishu hisker gamas habayis gamas harihitim. He says, I don't see any reason just because you're renting the house and you're renting the furniture inside, vein lo labaylim shum drisas regel b'vayis. Certainly if the owner doesn't have any access to the room. It's like very nice. His stuff is being stored there, but if he doesn't have access to the room, it's really hard to call a storehouse, right? He can't, and even if he does, so yeah, he may, like he does to fix things, but he doesn't really have unfettered access to the space, and therefore, says Rav Yashav, it's still going to be considered to be belonging to the responsibility of the tenant. Yeah. And he quotes from a Nemuka Yosef that maybe seems to go against that, but he says but he doesn't think that that's the case. I mean, we would add as well, I think the svara that we have formulated, which I think it makes a lot of sense, is that any room that a person is living in could also be considered a beis ha'otzer, but once it's been qualified as their bedroom, so then it is their bedroom. Whether, even though, yeah, there's stuff in it, but it already is being used as a bedroom rather than being used as something else. In fact, this whole idea that a beis ha'otzer, that a storage room is chayiv, is not agreed by everybody. The Rambam quotes this in the Shuvah, that the Rambam doesn't hold that way. The Rambam doesn't hold that these beis ha'otzers and the barns and all these things are chayiv. And in fact, the only reason that the real svara for why it would be chayiv is because a person would go in there regularly. Right, the reason why those that say that you are chayiv is a person would go in, but specifically in the scenario where it's a hotel room and the owner cannot just walk into a hotel room whenever they want, so therefore it's not going to be considered to be their storage space, and therefore it is, well, a hotel room is not the best example, but a apartment, right? So the owner of the apartment can't just walk into the apartment anytime that they want, so therefore it's really considered to be an apartment, and therefore the responsibility of the tenant to be the one to put the mezuzah up. He has actually an interesting ha'ara here at the end of this tshuva, on page, 4, where he says, if the tenant is going to be Jewish, and there you know that they're not going to personally be putting up a mezuzah, so is it then the responsibility of the owner to do it, right? If you would not be able to rent it out to a guy, so then maybe you're responsible because of Lifnei Iver. That the owner, if you know that the Jewish person living there is not going to put it up on their own, so then maybe the owner is responsible to put it up, plus otherwise he's in violation of Lifnei Iver for giving a Jew a place to stay that doesn't have a mezuzah on the door. It's an interesting svara here. In fact, this might be... There was a couple months ago at this point, there is somebody who contacted me that they bought a house in Bala and was renting it out to a family that wasn't from and wasn't going to put up their own mezuzahs. So he wanted me to go to their house and put up mezuzahs for him in that house. So I wasn't sure. Now learning this, he was a Talmud Chacham, this fellow. This person was he knew what he was talking about. We had a couple of interesting arguments about some of his doorways, about where they should go. But perhaps this is what was motivating him to make sure that they got up. So it was like, walking to this house of people like, hi, I'm the mezuzah guy, like that's being hired by the owner to to put up your mezuzahs. It was an interesting thing. I actually ended up having to go back twice, because he missed there was like two hidden doorways. Well, there's one hidden doorway one place that I didn't see, and then there was another one that we had a machlokas about, but I still think I'm right, but he wanted a mezuzah.
Did you come in right after the cable guy?
Right, that's what it that's what it felt
the
like.
The gas man.
Yeah.
Hooking up the gas.
Okay, so
I have a quick question. It may be relevant to later on, but I wanted to ask. As we walk by the ECMA house, I think I see a mezuzah on the door. And the ECMA's house was bought by non-Jews. I'm pretty sure they're not Jewish.
Okay, so that, it becomes relevant. That's actually the Ramah in this sugya talks about a non-Jew that requests a mezuzah. Is that okay or not? I forgot what the story was with them.
Nancy's gonna ask Lisa, but I was just curious.
I remember discussing it with David. I don't remember what the answer. I think it might be Jewish, or at least maybe one of them was Jewish, because we did discuss this issue, really, also the second half of this of tonight's issue, the idea of a person moving out and what they're and leaving the mezuzahs behind. Okay, so page 5 was that Aruch HaShulchan I wanted to point out, and then
but that other issue you mentioned about somebody who's not Jewish wants to put a mezuzah up.
There could be reason not to. I mean, the Ramah here you can see on the page, on page 2, the Ramah says, you're not allowed to give it to him. That if you're nervous that it's going to cause Eva, if you don't do it, so then he says that it would be mutter. There's also a Yerushalmi that tells the story of I looked into this a little while ago because Dasher Pruitt, our local Republican Congress. A woman hopeful asked me if she could have a mezuzah for her door at some point. So I didn't actually get it to her at any point, but I did look into it. Then there is a gemara actually a very famous gemara. Well, we'll cover it. But there's a famous gemara where Rabbi Yehuda is given something, given a present by the Caesar, and to give something back, he gives a mezuzah. And the Caesar is like, what's this? Like, well, why are you giving me such a little thing? And he responds by saying, no, this is protect. You know, it talks about how protective it is, and that's where the mashal of a melech baser v'dam. So he stays in the castle, and he has the guards outside the castle, while Hashem, he allows us to be in the castle, and he stands guard outside the castle. So that was a line that Rabbi Yehuda was telling over to like the Caesar to convince him to accept to tell him how wonderful a mezuzah was. So all right, anyways, that's not for this week. That's for probably next week. So the why did he put this last? Any further details here? No. Okay. So that Mem Aleph is also sort of maybe that's even where I came across this tshuva from Uli Yashuv. Ah, right. So we did want to. So there is seeming somewhat of I don't know stira, but Ravosha seems to over time give two different answers to a related question on this. So page 7, we got 7, 8, and 9. Yeah. Okay, so page 7 is one of the Mesoris Moshes. The truth is, which... I didn't put down which one. So this is what? Page Resh Ayin Zayin. This is... Okay, so this is Mesoris Moshe Volume 3. Again, the Mesoris Moshe has been put together. They've been coming out over the last couple of years. It's people that were, I see, it was organized by Rav Mordechai Tendler, who was Rav Moshe's grandson, but also the person who kind of lived in their house for a very long time. And then other people as well are sort of collecting their recollections of halachic discussions. Apparently he took very good notes while he was there, and that has formed the basis for this for these svarim called Mesoris Moshe that have come over the last couple of years. So here, number Resh Nun Vav, so it tells the following story, right? Almi mutel chayiv ha-mezuzah b'malon. So who's responsible for a mezuzah in a hotel? So he says, well, gabi chiv mezuzah b'malon in a hotel, heshiv rabbeinu shetaloi bazeh, that actually is, depends. What kind of hotel is it? Shim bal ha-malon achrai al nesinas makom halina v'hachila l'orchav. Is the owner of the hotel, is he responsible to feed the guests as well? is feeding the guests part of the deal, right? Because if so, as nechshav kesamach al shulchan bal hamalon v'chorach. He says, because if you are, so then it's like you're basing yourself on the, you're relying on the, not just the room, but also the board of the owner, and therefore you're like a guest. And therefore the owner of the hotel would be chayiv to put up a mezuzah. To have a mamish ka'orach oben, because then he's like having a guest or your son over, right? V'rak shekana balabayis matzik sha'orach yashlim lo schira so. It's just that here the balabayis wants a little bit of payment in exchange. But essentially they're really guests, and therefore the requirement, he's not a renter, he's a guest. But if the owner of the hotel is only responsible to give the person a place to sleep, and somebody else, someone else is going to give him food, as havi keskiris regilash, then that's like a rental, and therefore it's like the responsibility of the renter to put up the mezuzah. Ulamaisam Rabbeinu Shirov Hamilonu Shehu Machir BaAmerica, that most of the American hotels are the first category. Now, I'm not sure what he means by hotels in America. Is he referring to Holiday Inns, or is he referring to Grossinger's?
referring to Holiday Inns, but
well, no, because Holiday Inns aren't responsible to feed the guests.
Right, so he's saying most of those are
the first category.
I'm not sure what
here. Well, many hotels give
breakfast.
No, the patur. So the orach, the guest is patur from mezuzah, meaning the obligation is really on the owner. So he could be talking about Grossinger's and the Homolak and the, you know, wherever Gudas Yisrael conventions were in the, you know, in the 70s.
Are you talking about hotels in the 50s where they did provide breakfast?
Right. So that is one. Now, I don't know if these are necessarily in order, because in volume one, he says something a little different. And he seems to acknowledge that he's kind of going back on something. Right, so that being the case, it sounds like it's from later on in his life. But here we go. Where is it? I'm sorry. Correct. Right. 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 But if you're the owner, then you if you're really saying that the owner is chayv, if the owner is giving food, so then you would be chayv right away. Because it's the owner's responsibility, and he would be chayv. So therefore, Rav Moshe would tell the Homolak that they would have to have a mezuzah on every door. Now, in the King's Hotel in Yerushalayim, I don't know if they give you. Well, nothing's included. You have to pay for everything separately, right? It's a separate dining room. So,
breakfast is usually included.
So breakfast is included. Okay, so is breakfast enough to call you a guest, even if they're not giving you lunch and dinner? I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what his gedder is. So, but he was then asked. So this is now in volume two. I mean, that was volume three, and this is volume two. But again, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're supposed to be in chronological order. There's no dates on anything.
A lot of retirement communities where the
right, the very good. That's so.
Months and years, and often the meals are included, or at least a certain number of meals are included.
Right. So on page 8, it talks about a chiyuv mezuzah b'moshav zakenim, where the Baal Bayis is Jewish and the person living there is not. So I don't know if this is right, a nursing home or a retirement village. It could be somewhat different. It might be different based on this svara. In fact, I remember there was I think I spoke once at a Gudah Shalom at Uncle Eli's shul, and I saw, I think in the Art Scroll Chumash, they quoted a parish called the Moshav Zakenim, and I quoted the Moshav Zakenim, and Eli said, no, that's not the, it can't be the Moshav Zakenim, it must be another sefer, because the Moshav Zakenim means an old age home. But no, I didn't look into it. There is a sefer called the Moshav Zakenim, but a Moshav Zakenim is generally considered to be a nursing home. So actually, you see on the bottom, he gives a translation, translates it as nursing home. So he says, I asked the Rav Moshe, Im yesh chiyuv lebal habayis Yehudi sheyesh lo Moshav Zakenim. Nimsim sham rakayim, but there usually are only non-Jews there, which is certainly, you know, certainly the case today. There are Jews that are owning nursing homes across the country. I mean, it's really like that's really become business, really in the middle of nowhere. So lahatil al delasos mezuzah. So is the Jewish owner chayiv to put up a mezuzah, especially because if using Rav Moshe's rule, right? You are responsible to give them food in the nursing home. Like a hotel. That it's not really considered to be a place where you're renting and the owner is just benefiting from the fact that someone's living there. It's like you're a guest. That's what the hotel calls you, a guest. That's your house. It's your house, meaning the owner. It's the owner's house and someone's coming and staying at your house. And therefore, and you're responsible to give them a place to sleep and a place to eat. And they're guests, and they're paying, but they're essentially their guests, and therefore you're the owner, you would have to put one up. But aval, so, and that seems to follow what we said earlier in Rishon, in the, which is in Chelek Gimel, again. But he says, aval, achar kach, amar Rabbeinu shechashav pam, that he thought maybe dulai nishtana hametzius b'malonos, that it could be that hotels have changed. That the food is separate from the sleeping. The Efshar L'chalkim, you could divide it up. That they're not really guests anymore. And L'maisa Yachol, that person has taken. And has taken the responsibility to feed them, and there are malonos like this, where it's considered separate entities. And he says in Europe also, right? That in Europe also, it's become common that they only give them a place to sleep, as opposed to a bed and breakfast. So that these hotels are not considered like guest houses. Rock, they're renters. In this case, if that's the scenario, you don't have a responsibility to feed them, then you would be pater. But if not, you would be chayiv. So I don't know how to define a nursing home, though, right? A nursing home, I think you are responsible to feed them, I would think, right? Isn't that's usually the setup, right? It's not like you're paying for a bed and you're paying a separate bill for the food, right? Unless you are. I don't know.
I don't know. It's all included.
Right, I assume that's all included. So it sounds like at first glance, Rav Moshe would say that it sounds like Meikar Din, you would be chayv to put a mezuzah in all these places. So a Jew buys a nursing home in Omaha, Nebraska, or something like that. So and you have the right to assume that most of the people staying there are going to be not Jewish if you're responsible to feed them. So it sounds like Rav Moshe at least would say that you would be responsible to put up a mezuzah as well. I don't know if this is what is normally followed today or not, but that is his psak.
What is the connection? Could be explained this, but I didn't get the connection between feeding someone and mezuzah.
So I don't know. He doesn't say. I didn't explain it. I only read what Rav Moshe said. I think he just thinks about it differently, that he's saying, oh, if you're giving them food, so it's like you're a guest then. I don't know, because it's...
like your house or something, someone comes to visit
me. Right, but you could also make maybe you would distinguish and say, in an inn, right, which might be the way he was thinking about it as well, right, in an inn in Europe, so you went to an inn, and there was a dining room, and there was places to sleep, and Grossinger's, or at a conference, or places like that, so you eat in a room, and you sleep in a room, and everybody eats together in a dining room, and it's like one thing, as opposed to a nursing home, where the person eats in their room, right, they're bringing the food to you, because you paid for it, so... I'm not sure. I don't know what his... right. Well, it depends on the nursing home. It depends on the person. So I don't know. I don't know what his gedder is. I maybe would see who he could track down, maybe.
In my mind, I'm surprised that they don't bring the issue of it. If it's a non-Jew, you don't know that there'll be kavodik to the mezuzah.
Right. So that I was going to say that there is a concern, and that's what we're going to get into shortly. Is it seems like the concern that the mezuzah is going to be lost, destroyed, vandalized, something like that, trumps the response, whatever the chiyuv is to have a mezuzah. That certainly comes up really in the next halacha that we're about to talk about, which is leaving a mezuzah behind. But yeah, that the concern that what's going to be with that mezuzah, where is it going to go and where is it going to end up, is certainly a concern that is worth taking into account and could trump the idea of having mezuzahs up in these kinds of places being described here. Yeah.
I was at a Shabbaton in a hotel, and many of the people
Judean society had left their Bibles in the rooms, they didn't want to sleep. They put it out in the hallway so that it wouldn't be in their room. And my feeling is if we as Jews treat their materials like that and just leave it in the floor in the hallway, there's a good chance that they're treating our materials in a similar way.
Right, although if you walk up and down the hallways of the Green Hill, I think you'll see a lot of indications that that non-Jews are willing to are happy to have mezuzahs up in their on their doorways.
Yeah, I think the mitzvah says that people up there are not are afraid of mezuzahs and won't desecrate them.
Yeah.
I mean, I have people in my office like occasionally have mezuzahs that have fallen off a door. And somebody would come by to me and with trepidation said, you know, this fell down, I don't want to touch it. You know, it's like,
right. Right. Although it also might depend on the place. You know, for a in a what's it called? You know, a nursing home where there are people moving in and out, and there's, you know, shoulders rubbing against the. Let's put it this way: in a nursing home, I would not be machped on putting on the lower part of the top third. I would say put it higher up where there aren't going to be too many shoulders rubbing against it, or too many you know, beds rolling in and out and things like that. I mean, it's not so much the. That people, I don't think the concern is as much that people are going to mistreat it as much as it's just going to get knocked away. No one's going to know what happened to it. Okay, but that then brings us to the second half of the siman, or the, I guess the middle third of this sif, and that is v'cheshiyatza. The Shulchan Aruch records lo yitlana biyado. You're not allowed to take it with you. You're not supposed to take it with you. And the Ramah then says, V'im hikpid al ma'oseha hasheni tzarech l'shalim lo. And if you're makbid on the money, meaning the person leaving says, yeah, okay, I'll leave him behind, but I want to be paid, so says the Ramah, the second guy should pay him for it. Right? He should give the money for it. So that's the first thing that people don't realize whenever they come across. So, do I have to leave all my mezuzahs behind for the next person? So I always tell them, okay, just because you buy a house from a Jew does not mean that you're entitled to free mezuzahs, right? That's not the way that it works. But just the starting, that's right away in Shulchan Aruch that the Ramah says that if the first person wants to get paid for it, they should get the money back. But what is this all about? Where is this coming from? So this is found in a Gemara in Meseches Bava Metzia, that same sugya discussing who's responsible, the renter or not, and the Gemara there says that the person leaving has to leave them behind. And I didn't put the Gemara in, but if you it is quoted here in the introduction to that chapter in the Argo Ro'alecha. So if you look on page 10, so he says, V'cheshiyotze lo yitlana, when you leave, he's just quoting the Gemara, when you leave, you shouldn't take the mezuzahs with you. U'maisa be'echad, it happened, shenatal b'yado v'yatze, that somebody took them and left. V'kavaris ishto v'shnei banav. And the Gemara says that he ended up having to bury his wife and two sons. So there was some kind of, and the Gemara seems to be assuming that there is some kind of divine punishment for this act. So it should be taken seriously, figuring out what to do about leaving these mezuzahs behind. Now, what's the svara for it? Why? Well, why all of a sudden are we doing this? So there's three, so he quotes here on the top, the three we've shown. There's three shitas on it, and depending on how you understand it, is going to have many nafkamin, ramifications as to how this is actually going to be fulfilled. So the most famous answer is that of Tosfos, because Tosfos appears on the page. So on the page of Gemara, anybody learning this sugya is going right away see what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, because if you take the mezuzah with you, mazikin, those demons, come into houses where there are no mezuzahs, and if you take them with you, it's as if you have damaged he who is living in the house. Now, who cares if the house is empty, right? Why should it really matter? But I think the concern is that the demons could get in while there are no mezuzahs on the door before people move in, and then they're going to be there once the people move in. So that is the most famous approach, that there is a security issue, and if you're taking the mezuzahs down, so then you are responsible for the breach of security that will exist during that time. The second answer is the Ritva, and the Ritva ends up being probably the most, in a way, the most machmir here. The Ritva says, the kevan dechala kedusha shchina b'vayezeh ein lo l'salko misham. He says, well, because the mezuzah is there, the Shekhinah is there. So who are you to take the mezuzah, to take the Shekhinah away? Okay, that is concern number two. And then you have concern number three, that of Rav Chaigon. So Rav Chaigon says that, I'll tell you what the problem is, she'iser hu rak she'eino kova miyad b'pesach acher. The problem is not about the house, but rather it's about the mezuzah itself. That you're going to take the mezuzah down, and now, you know, for a while it was doing a mitzvah, and now it's not doing a mitzvah, right? It's like the journey song of the Sefer Torah that was written in Kiev and then was taken away and then was brought to America in a box and was put in a museum, and the Sefer Torah was so upset that I used to be used as to read from and to learn from and to dance with and all that, and now I'm in a box being stared at by Jews I don't recognize, right? That it's a different reality. So and truth is, I think there is some truth to that. I think there is not truth to the journey song, but I think there is some MS to the idea that we don't just, you know, that these are that Sifrei Kodesh, right? So besides the responsibility of burying them, putting in Shemesh, I think we do have a responsibility to maintain their use and not just like use them, you know, dispose of them. So this is becoming a little easier to convince people of now that mezuzahs are, you know, have gone from $40 to $70 at the starting price. All right, people are, you know, I think taking it a little bit more seriously, but it is considered the reason why they can't be thrown out into the garbage is because they contain the Shem Hashem, which means that they somewhat contain a neshama, they contain a soul, they contain a piece of Hashem in them, just like we contain a piece of Hashem in us. So to just to have it be in use of a mitzvah and then to not have it be in use in a mitzvah, so that's it, that's inappropriate. So anyway, so those are the three approaches that are quoted in the Rishonim. Yeah.
You're gonna immediately put them up again in your new house.
Ah. Right. So what about if you're going to put them up? So that right away is a big nafkamina, right? That already is going to be a nafkamina between these different positions, right? It's according to Tosos and according to the Ritva. They said that's going to be a problem because it's not so much about the mezuzah itself, it's about the place that you're leaving. So if you to take them down and to put them up someplace else, so that's going to be a problem. According to Rav Chaigon, yeah, as long as if you're going to put them up right away. Now, right away is probably relative, and I'm not sure you have to like take it down and right away rush and immediately put it up. But as long as you're in the process of then putting it up as soon as possible, so Rav Chaigon would say that would be okay. How do we paskin? So it sounds like this is it's kind of a little unclear. I mean, this is the only line that we really have in Shulchan Aruch, but we probably paskin like all three. We're probably machmir like all three, but could also be somech on all three. We could also rely on all three. So there's no shach and taz on this sugya, but you can take a look at the Pischei Tshuva. Pischei Tshuva on the bottom here, number six. Sorry, seven. Seven. V'chishiyatza lo yitlena. So he says, I am Bari, Shekasav, the imhu makum she'eno motze mezuzah lebayis shehu rotze, ata ladurbo, v'hi rechokam imenu shetavu liyada. He says, let's say you're the guy leaving, and you're leaving, and now you're moving to a place where you're not going to very easily be able to attain mezuzahs. Apparently you've been banned from Amazon, right? So you're not able to get mezuzahs where you are. So he says, "Kedai heim haga'onim Rabbeinu Hai v'Rav Chai she'amru dim kava miyad b'vayis acher leislam balismach aleim b'shasat chak." So it says the Pischei Tshuva, you could rely on Rav Chai Gon's shita in those circumstances and take them with you. Why? Because you're going to put them up right away, right? But again, you're only relying on them b'shasat chak. Because of Od, the Afi Miyad Shiyotsi Mibayze Yavo Re'eu Ladurbo, and he also writes that even if immediately that you leave this house, your friend is going to move in, Ze Nichnas Vize Yotze, Vishneim Nechonim Zela Hutzi Mezuzaso, Vizela Hachnis Shalo Tekef, Mishamish Knisa Vietzia, Afa Gavdul Shaykh Baze, Hani Tamim, Dis Ramuba, Afilu Hachi Lopul Grabanon. Right? But he also says, the same person who's willing to be makel in the case where you're traveling to the mezuzahless land, he also turns around and says, but what about the following scenario, where you're taking it out and the other guy is going to put it back in right away? Right away. You know, like the lechem hapanim right away, where the hands are right next to each other. So it sounds like, well, according to Tosos, that should be fine. According to the Ritva, that should be fine. According to to Rav Haigon, maybe not, because you have to be able to be putting it up in a new place right away. So, and besides that, he also says, also, probably lo plug rabbanon, that maybe just the whole thing is just a takana, that the whole thing is just a rule. You can't take the mezuzahs with you. So, and so he says, even in that scenario, where your mom is going to be putting it right away, says it doesn't work. You'd have to leave them, you would have to leave them behind.
What's the case for an apartment? If you're leaving an apartment that's non-Jewish?
Right. So this whole thing is only if, yeah, the truth is, you're right, in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say it, but in Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say actually in Shulchan Aruch, but the whole premise is that you're going to have the Jew moving in after you. That's the whole premise. Right. If you're going to have a non-Jew, so then we're concerned it's going to be destroyed, and yeah, for sure you would take it with you. Even when you have a Jew, we'll see that there are kulas there. I also noticed today that this whole sugya is only contained within the sugya of a renter. Right? That's the whole sugya. Hasokher bayis mechira, that's the context of this whole thing. So I was like, maybe it doesn't even apply when you sell the house to somebody else. So the Agur Bo Alecha makes that point. The Agur Bo Alecha picks up on that as well and says, no. He says it's a kal v'chomer the other way. Meaning he says that if you have to leave it behind when you were renting it and another renter is coming in, kal v'chomer you'd have to leave it behind when you're selling it and someone else is coming in. He says, and this whole idea is that, and the chiddush of the Gemara is that even if you're only a renter and your whole obligation in mezuzos is perhaps not 100% anyways, so even in that scenario you would be required to leave it behind. That's the way the Agur Bo Alecha quotes it. Okay, and then we just say one more other comment in Pesach Tshuva, and then I guess I gotta go, but the Pesach Tshuva also adds an in Chesir, Lo Yitlena, who says, Umi Hai Taima, you shouldn't take it with you. And for this reason, the Shivat Zion says, B'mi Shemachar Beso V'lo Kasav Im Kol Masha Kasovo, all right, let's say a person sold the house and they didn't write, and there must be a real estate term for this, including everything that's inside. Right? So, v'rotza hamocher, so the seller wants to take the mezuzos. Right? The buyer never said, I'm taking everything inside. The mocher says, okay, great, I'm going to take the mezuzos. So, akvuim b'yisedos b'pischei chadarim, that are you know, put in with nails into the doorways. V'chasav dehadin. Da'adin, I can't tell, mas? Let me tell what that next word is. V'chasev da'adin,
im halukeach.
Oh, im, that's an im? Okay, that's the din im halukeach. If that's the case, so then there's a suffix, and he says the din is with the buyer. V'af de piskehen b'choshen mishpatzim reishu dalet hamocher b'vayistam lo macher el komasha b'socher b'chubar b'tit. That we do pask in the choshen mishpat in this halacha, right? That what does the buyer get? He gets everything that is sealed with cement, right? What's it called? A mezuzah is not sealed with cement. A mezuzah is sealed with nails or with double-sided tape or with... or with silicone, or with some combination of the three, right? So he says, still, aval mashem chubar b'yisedos lo mikrei chibur, mishum d'v'gemarahu, ibay d'lo ifshita, right? Umotzi mechaver olav haraya. He says at the end of the day, this is the Gemara raises the question and leaves it as an open question, and therefore the rule is going to be, hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. The possession, whoever has it, keeps it, and the other person is not going to be able to take it with it. So he adds in, though, haynu dafka b'davar shamocher yachol lahachzik bo gam achar mechira. It's only with something that the seller could take after the sale. Masha'inkim b'mezuzos te'en r'shaylit is not allowed to take anyways. Ve'en lo ella tevias damim. He only has a claim, a monetary claim. So therefore, if there's a dispute of, okay, so the guy left, the other guy moved in, and the guy says, all right, I want my mezuzos. So the guy says, well, sorry, I bought everything in the house. He says, okay, fine, so pay me for them. So according to this line, he's going to say, no, I bought the house and everything contained in it and everything attached to the wall. And a mezuzah is included with that. So it was included in the purchase price. So if you would come with that claim to Beis Din, so, you know, and this is not like a small matter, right? If it's a big house, they're talking, $1,500, $2,000, right? So even if they would go to Beis Din would say, all right, amotze mechavero lavaraya, and we don't have a proof one way or another with regards to the mezuzahs that they were contained. So when a person is going, we'll get to about what exactly is the obligation of leaving them, and are there scenarios where you might be exempt. But when a person is actually going to go through this, right? The person sells the house and they're going to leave the mezuzah for the next person, and they want the money. So I tell them you got to put in the rider or something that this does not include the cost for the mezuzahs, and we expect whatever it is, $1,500 in exchange for the mezuzahs that are on the door, unless you want to include in the purchase price, right? There's nothing wrong with including it in the purchase price, but just in terms of being clear, it should be clear beforehand rather than after, especially if you are the seller, because once the deal is done, so then you're on the other side of it. You're hamotzi mechaver olavarai, you're the one seeking money, and you're going to have a hard time convincing a beis din that you are entitled to that money. Okay, so we covered part of this. So yeah, I guess we'll try to conclude with some of the more lemaisa things next week, and maybe even finish Hilchos Mezuzah next week, perhaps. Okay, all right. I have actually a call I need to get on. So all right, good night. Good. Thank you, everybody. We'll,
your audio was perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fine.
Baruch Hashem. Okay.